The contrast that I wish to share with you is the contrast between looking unto Christ Jesus for eternal life and salvation, and that of looking unto a ritual by which you could be made right with God. And this is a very stark contrast. It is also very much part of my own life. I had spent 48 years as a Catholic, 30 as a Dominican, and 22 as a priest. In my 21 years in parish work as a priest, I thought that inviting them to come to the sacraments, that I was inviting them to Christ. I went door to door as a priest. Not many priests do that, but I went door to door, knocking, asking people to come to church to have their babies baptized, and people to come to church so that I could hear their confessions, telling them that if they were in serious illness or in any accident or they're in danger of death, be sure to call me to come and put the holy oils on their forehead and on their hands in the anointing of the sick. I thought in doing that to the dying that I was bringing them to Christ and to God. I really believe that sincerely, and that was what my life was all about, bringing people to the sacraments, because I thought I was taking them to Christ. It was some years into the priesthood that I began to have a reality check, as it were, that things began to shock me. One of the things was when I would anoint somebody who had been a sinner, hear their confession, anoint them with the oils, and then hear some of them die cursing God. I had done all that the book said. I had introduced them to confession and anointed them, and then to hear some die cursing God, it was frightening to me. Does this not work? You know, what is wrong? It was really stark with me. I lived on the raw edge. You know, I lived in a parish where I had many congregations of people, three churches and four more outstations. So I was very close to where the people lived. And when they died, I knelt by many bedsides. And it was really difficult when I saw some of the babies I baptized, or nearly all the babies I baptized, because we seldom saw any of them come back. But when I saw them in society, they were living like pagans. I had baptized them and said that they were born again, and here they were as wicked as the pagans around them. And that really shocked me, because I was a sincere, devout priest. So I want to deal with this contrast, but to do it compassionately, because it was agony for me to discover some of these things. So we do this with compassion, with love, because we have sincere, devout people who do these sacraments. I want to concentrate on three of them: baptism, confirmation for Catholic teenagers, and anointing of the sick, used to be called extreme unction. And that we would deal with this in a way in which we truly speak the truth in God's own love. The whole idea of having a baby reborn by a sacrament is very attractive when you think of it. What parent is there that wouldn't want to know that their child is born again? Particularly if you could know from the very beginning they're only 8 days old, 2 weeks old, and you know that your child is a Christian. What parent is there that wouldn't want that if it were true? Because if you had the assurance that your child is going to be made a child of God, why would you not want it? So this is quite attractive, that a person could desire the best for their children and desire that their children would be born again. And this is exactly what the Catholic Church says. I want to quote from their Code of Canon Law, which is their teaching and law altogether. Canon 849, quotation. Baptism, the gate to the sacraments necessary for salvation, by which men and women are freed from their sins, are reborn as children of God and configured to Christ by an indelible character, are incorporated in the church, is validly conferred only by washing with true water together with a required form of words. That the infant that you baptize is born again, so the Catholic Church says. I baptize at an average of about 30 infants every first Sunday of the month for 21 years. That's a lot of babies. And I had told the parents that this child is now a new creature, a child of God. And that's exactly the words of the official words in the Book of Rites of the Catholic Church. That's exactly what the priest is told to say. The exact words from the volume of Rites of the Church are these: dearly beloved, this child has been reborn in baptism. He is now a child of God, for so indeed he is. So they tell people in the ceremony itself that their baby is reborn, and indeed he or she is a child of God. That's how emphatic the teaching of the Catholic Church is, that you lead a child, bring him to the font, pour water over his head, and you have a Christian, so the Catholic Church says. The appeal for adults is even greater. I had very, very seldom ever did Catholic adult baptisms. I did maybe 3 or 4 in my whole 21 years, but for adults, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says the following: By baptism, all sins are forgiven, original sin and all personal sins, as well as all punishment for sins. So the adult is not only born again, they say, by this sign, this ritual, but that they have all personal sins and everything wiped out by this sacrament. Now, as priests, we used to get together and really bare our souls with each other. You know, we had a place called the Rum Shop. We were living in Trinidad, I was living in Trinidad, and we would get together to drink beers and rum at night. And often the priests would share the burden it was to baptize babies, because it was a heartache when you realize that in Trinidad we had about 8% of the population, the Catholic population, practice, that most of these babies, or the majority, were never see again. It was only the mothers really came. The fathers were seldom ever seen. Most of the marriages were not real marriages, they were common law marriages. And it was a heartache, because we knew that this was the beginning and the end for most. And a majority, or many of them, came late, and we had to wait for them, or then repeat the ceremony. And I don't know about babies here in the States, but I know about those babies in Trinidad. They hollered and bawled and yelled, and it was very difficult to say anything over and above the chorus when you have about 30 babies in front of you. It was really difficult. And priests over their beers and rum would often speak about the distress it was, because we knew as priests after a few years that this thing was a real heartache. One year at the priest conference was the annual conference where we were working out things for the parish. Some priests insisted that they should be allowed to what they call spiritual streaking. You know what streaker is, when they run naked through the crowd? Well, they wanted to spiritually streak, to let their woes be known to other priests. This is only a meeting with priests, and they were doing spiritual streaking. What they were doing was they were bearing their heart on how difficult it is to do so many baptisms, and to know that this is all down the drain, that nothing comes of it, and it is so discouraging when you have to put in the time and write out the certificates wondering why you have done all of this. One priest, I thought he was very irreverent, he got up and he talked about how hard it was for him, and he said, our job is really hatching, matching, and dispatching. And then he explained what he meant. He said, we hatch them in baptism, we match them, that those who do come to be married, the few who come, we match them in marriage, and we dispatch them at the funerals. So I thought he was very irreverent. I was shocked by him saying this, we hatch, match, and dispatch. Because I was always a very devout priest, and I actually didn't like to go to the rum shop, and I would mostly just take a Coca-Cola or something, because I didn't want to get into too much. And the priest meeting where there was this spiritual streaking going on, my heart was going out to other priests, but I didn't like the way some people spoke about baptism. But in actual fact, there was some truth behind what they were saying, that we were really hatching, matching, and dispatching. A big part of our job was this, and it got really discouraging. 10 or 12 years into the priesthood, most of us knew that really nothing happened, except there was some wetness here on the baby's forehead, and a lot of howling and a lot of drama, salt on the baby's tongue and oil on the forehead too, and a little white garment put over them and signified that they were clothed with Christ. But it was a lot of drama and sign, but it really rang like a crack gong. It just didn't deliver, and we knew that. And it was quite difficult. Even any priest who was honest with himself would wonder how he could read the words of the New Catechism, where it says, paragraph 1250, the sheer gratuitousness of the grace of salvation is particularly manifest in infant baptism. The church and parents would deny a child the priceless grace of becoming a child of God were they not to confer baptism shortly after birth. That rings like a dull gong for somebody who has ministered baptism, because they know in their heart of hearts that they are performing something that does not take. Why does it not take? Because it's the opposite to what the gospel message is. The gospel message, Christ Jesus gave it quite clearly. He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Christ Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized. If you believe, and that means that you understand the faith, you're cognizant of what it is to be a sinner and Christ's finished work, you trust Christ, and you are baptized then as a adult person or a teenager or somebody who is convicted enough, old enough to be convicted, you're a sinner, and you believe, then you are baptized and give testimony to that faith, then you are saved. And notice the second part of the verse, a real important omission. Christ didn't say, and he who is not baptized will be damned, but he that believeth not. If you don't believe, then you are damned. Where is it all hinging? It's hinging on faith. So faith is the key. It is trusting in the Lord. That is the key to salvation. It's faith in a person and not in any ritual or any church. It's faith in a person. And that's the glorious thing of what Christ Jesus said. So it is what Christ Jesus said there and in many other places. Christ the Lord said, he that believeth my word, heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. You pass from death to life as you believe. What could be more crystal clear? And that is the first of our contrasts. And I try to say it with a compassion, because I lived the other side for so many years, and I know what it is to see the attraction, but to know that it is all emptiness and it does not deliver. The Catholic Church tries to entice people not just by infant baptism, but from early on in the United States, they have tried to entice people by adding to baptism the Catholic education system and their hospitals. And we have a manual of direct quotations from early American Catholicism, and I think some of it makes interesting reading. Reading from documentary reports on early American Catholicism, published in 1979 in New York, says the following from a Catholic bishop called Bishop Brute. He said, conversion of Protestants. It is necessary to consider the conversions by direct teaching, by education among Catholics, by mixed marriages, by sojourns in hospitals or otherwise, on the verge of death. I observe first in my brief that there have been a strong proportion of Protestants converted in our United States since the American Revolution. Since 1810, when I arrived, our schools, either of boys or girls, all receive a great number of Protestant students. They follow all our religious exercises of the school and hear constantly the same instructions. Consequently, the prejudices generally give way before new lights. Many desire to become Catholic and obtain the consent of their parents. That is the ways that the Catholic Church uses, and it still uses, particularly as people now get more and more dissatisfied with public schools. The Catholics say that they have great schools, and some Christians say, well, we'll send our children to a Catholic school, at least it's better than the public schools. And that's what the Catholics want, because they're going to instruct the children in the things of Catholicism. This is a humanistic way, and it does succeed in humanistic terms. But Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. We do not use humanistic ways to entice people. In Trinidad, we had Buddhists and Hindus who would come to me as a priest saying they wanted the child baptized. We wanted the certificate because they wanted to get into our colleges and into our schools. And this is a very big thing that the Catholic Church uses. So they use baptism together with their education system. But Christ Jesus says that his kingdom is different. It's not of this world. And Christ Jesus said that he was not ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God unto salvation. We look to a message and we look to a person and not to any ritual. Confirmation is the attraction for teenagers. What parents are, who are you as a parent if you do not, you're not concerned about your teenagers? How to get your teenager through the difficult teenage years? And the Catholic Church says they have a sacrament particularly for those after puberty. And it is explained in the very famous book, Sells Well Here in New York, by John O'Brien, Faith of Millions, the book is called. He talks about confirmation. Quotation, confirmation is administered by the bishop and consists in the imposition of hands and anointing with chrism, a mixture of olive oil and balm, blessed by the bishop on Holy Thursdays. In anointing the forehead with chrism, the bishop says, I sign thee with the sign of the cross, I confirm thee with the chrism of salvation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The imposition of hands symbolizes the descent of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a sacrament to give the Holy Spirit to young people, so they say. And then they say the effects of confirmation, this is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1316. Confirmation perfects baptismal grace. It is a sacrament which gives the Holy Spirit in order to root us more deeply in the divine filiation and incorporate us more firmly into Christ and strengthen our bond with the Church. And so the Catholic Church talks about the young person being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was very serious as a priest and I went to tremendous troubles preparing young people for confirmation. When I was in South Trinidad, in places like Gasparillo, Point of Pier, Claxton Bay, Marabella, I spent 2 years preparing young people, giving them the lessons in the catechism, teaching them the Catholic doctrine, and I was intent. I would have churches full. Sometimes it was overflowing the amount of young people and their parents coming for the baptism rite, where the archbishop came in all dressed in his robes and his mitre and his crozier, and he put his thumb on the forehead and made the sign of the cross to anoint them with chrism, a special oil made with balm and perfume and mixed so that they can use this in this ceremony. So I did all this preparation, and because I was so sincere as a priest, I had follow-up meetings. I called the children afterwards, the young people, together with their parents. I was really surprised. Anytime I did these follow-up, I would get a handful. And when I asked the young people, how have you been changed? What has happened? They couldn't explain. One or two tried to say things to please me, but I somehow suspected that this was somehow to please me. And I was really taken aback because I really believed that this worked. Then I would watch the teenagers. We wouldn't see them come to church again, and then I'd see some get into drugs, fornication, and other types of immorality. And I was wondering, how can it be that these young people are strong and perfect Christians, as we said? How can it be that these young people have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Then when I moved north in Trinidad to Sangre Grande, I changed my approach. I still had over 2 years of preparation, but now I had a rule that every young person for confirmation must buy the Catholic Jerusalem Bible. Every student must have the Bible. I was beginning to study the Bible myself, and every student had to have a Bible. And I had different subgroups, and I used to take the main class every Saturday in the main church. And even the subgroups were called by names of books in the Bible. I was trying to be biblical. And we tried to teach the young people to read different portions of scripture, and read it they did because it was part of their course. But I also had bought a book from the United States called The Message of Salvation, a Catholic book. And that was teaching really different than what the Bible was teaching. For example, on the lesson 16 from that book, it said the following: in the sacrament of confirmation, the Holy Spirit comes to your soul to make you a strong in Christian belief and strong in Christian life. In confirmation, the Holy Spirit fortifies, strengthens, completes, perfects, and consolidates what he did at baptism. Baptism is birth in the life of God and membership of Christ's church. Confirmation brings maturity to the Christian life. Confirmation is the sacrament of Christian maturity. So I was reading these things and having the youth study these as they were studying the Bible. Page 85 of the book, lesson 13, says, Christ comes to you in the sacraments of the Catholic Church. So what I was teaching in the Bible was actually being wiped out by the other book, and I did not realize the contradiction that was going on. I was teaching them one thing with the Catholic Bible, and I was teaching them another thing in the book of Catholic instruction. The pomp and ceremony of confirmation is spelled out in this book too. Page 103 says, confirmation is the occasion of big celebration in every parish church. The church is beautifully decorated, and clergy from the neighboring parishes are present to honor the bishop and the sacrament he gives this day. The very solemnity of the occasion makes the Christian realize the new state to which he has been elevated and the obligation to spread the faith that comes with confirmation. So again, after the confirmation ceremonies in the main church and in the other churches that I have had, I had follow-ups. It was the same thing as in the South. The youth were gone